Good morning and welcome to my second talk on Flutter. My name is the one with the braid, and in today's talk I will focus on animations and on the rendering of Flutter's graphics library in background. Okay, let's begin. I will talk on about motion. Motion is part of user experience, so it's not only a technical talk, but also a talk on kind of how motion and how app design affects the user. Yeah, and that already points to the first question. Why do we need animation? There are different reasons. Sometimes we want to emphasize something in regard of hierarchy. For a moment, I will slow down the animation. Yeah, here you can see this pop-up, this card, this list tile, which expands, and the box being created from this list tile shows that the list tile actually contains whatever is shown afterwards. This is a kind of hierarchy shown by the animation. Another common use case is indication of status. Here you see a kind of progress indicator, these list tiles glowing, and later these messages or whatever appearing. That indicates status of an application. It indicates for the user that it's not ready yet, that they should wait until it's everything is loaded and so on. Okay, a third part is feedback. Here you can see a card being dragged around and other cards correspondingly moving. That shows the users that their actions are successful, that whatever they perform is a valid action in the app. And the last, another point of animation is user education. You see, as when you tap the lock screen, it does not work. If you swipe up, it works. And this animation, this bouncing at the bottom, indicates that the user should try to swipe upward to unlock. Okay, let's talk about Flutter and animation. All these animations are possible in Flutter. The question is only how. And the Flutter documentation has a quite filled overview of animations in Flutter, and I will try to break it down. That's the guide on how to use animations provided by Flutter. Even if we zoom in, it is not that helpful. Let's go through these animations step by step. First of all, we have implicit animation. An implicit animation is a quite tiny but useful animation. It consists of three parts: a value which is being animated, that may be an integer, I don't know, a color, a size, whatever. A duration, so the amount of time the animation takes, and a curve in which the animation is being performed. I found a nice graphic showing these curves, but first of all, they are simple, they are easy to implement, and do not require any advanced knowledge of Flutter nor any mathematics. Here you can see a couple of curves provided in Flutter. Of course, you could create your curves on your own as well. You have ease curves, so this and accelerating curves. You have exponential acceleration and deceleration. You have bouncing animations. You have in-out easing and elastic animation, so you have pretty much everything you can imagine of. They are built in and accessible via curve dot and the name of the curve. Okay, an example of an implicit animation is an animated container. An animated container is a widget which simply animates all the values it is being given. In the code sample, I'm unsure whether you can see my mouse here. At least you should be able to see the selection. You see it checks whether this selected value is, or this Boolean is false or true, and correspondingly sets the size and the color of the container. It's being given a duration, 2 seconds, and a curve. And afterwards it just contains a child widget. And as soon as the containing widget should change the selected Boolean and should trigger a rebuild of this stateful widget, then all these values here, the alignment, the color, the height, the width, they are all being animated using this curve and the duration. It's a very simple animation, but is useful in many cases. Yeah, another kind of implicit animation is a so-called tween builder. On builders and animation builders, we will talk later. But here, quick introduction, a tween builder consists of a tween. A scalar, an amount of values in which the animation takes place, a duration, and a builder. A builder which is given the value of the tween. And based on the value, it can change itself. In this case, we have the angle set to the tween, and as soon as the tween changes, so every frame, this is rebuilt using the new angle. That's another easy way of animation in Flutter. Okay, a more complex example is the explicit animation. Of course, motion from reality, everything we can see consists of thousands of frames. Human eye is able to realize 30 or even more frames per second, but modern devices feature 60 or 120 frames per second, and high-end devices even more. And the explicit animation allows painting every single frame the application renders. Yeah, you can, with an explicit animation, you can set any single of these frames. It's used for complex animations for which no built-in widgets are available, and have, if they are not correctly implemented, they have a high performance impact. So use with caution. Yeah, what's the recipe for an explicit animation? You take a widget, a stateful widget. You mix in a single ticker provider state mix in. Use an animation controller, sync it to the single ticker provider. Add a listener, and on every listener of the controller, you set the state. So pretty much as soon as the state is set, you set a new state. I will provide an example. Here you have create a widget state with this single ticker provider state mix in. We have an animation controller. And we put the vSync on our single ticker provider mix in. As we listen to updates of the animation controller. So it's on high-end devices, it's 120 times per second. And in this update method, we set the state and simply rebuild the widget. And then we can do whatever we want with the value we animate. Please pay attention on disposal. The animation controller exists as long as it is not, or until it is deposed. Means as soon as you remove the widget from screen, or if you move to another page of your application, the animation controller would actually continue to animate itself. So you explicitly have to dispose it. Yeah, and here our editor, I provide an example where it's simply forwarding infinitely. Okay, that's the very low level animation, but that's actually under the hood how all the animations built in Flutter work. The animation builder and all the different animation builders make use of this. Animation builders are widgets which provide exactly what we were just talking on in explicit animations. That's what they provide under the hood, and provide a builder with the current value of the animation controller. That's much easier to use, and why should you use an explicit animation if you can't use an animated builder? Okay. Let's have a look at one. For example, here we have an animation controller consisting for 10 seconds, repeating infinitely. And based on the value of the animation controller, which is part of our widget, we have an animation builder, which is building based on the value of our animation controller. In our case, we simply rotate a box, whatever it may be. That was quite hard, and in most cases, you do not need to use these difficult animations. Usually, simple animations like hero animation are sufficient. What is a hero animation? A hero animation is a widget you can place around any other widget. For example, if we have an image, we place a hero around it, give it a certain tag. A tag can be any object, so it could be a string, could be an integer, it could be a widget, it could be whatever. If we place a hero around a widget, perform a page route, so we move to another page in our application, and use the same hero again. So a hero with the same tag, and any child should be a similarly looking child. The hero simply moves from its first location to its second location, zooms to the corresponding location, and that's very useful for simple animations. You know it from floating action buttons, for example, or from any image gallery. You know, if you tap an image, it zooms in, and it's not such an animation. You would never fade an image from the bottom to the top as a normal page transition. You simply zoom in the image if you surround an image with a hero and move to another page containing the same image. It's used for simple animations, and it's very, very easy to implement. Now here I found a graphic explaining how a hero works. We have our source hero, a big image, for example, in the middle of the screen. And during the page route, and Flutter detects, okay, the hero appears again in our destination. It's at the top on the left side, and hence the hero will zoom in and move its position to the destination position. That's simply how you would implement a hero. We have, for example, a container containing something, put a hero inside. On another page we move to, we implement a card or whatever containing the same hero tag, and then the contents of the hero will fade to the destination hero. Please pay attention not to use the same hero tag on two heroes on a page, otherwise you will run into trouble because Flutter won't be able to decide which hero to move on. You know this, if you put several floating action buttons on one screen, you will run into trouble because Flutter tries to animate to both floating action button and buttons and will cause errors. Okay, that was the easy peasy part, but let's talk about more complex transitions. And for these complex transitions, Flutter provides an animations package. It's not a part of the Flutter framework because, well, it's not an everyday use case. That's why it was moved to an external package, but it's an original package from flutter.dev. The animations package contains pre-built animations for common cases. I will go through these cases, and it's used for UI transitions, so complex transitions, and it's comparatively easy to implement. Okay, here we have the so-called container transform. You can see several containers which are expanding in some way. For example, here the floating action button, which is being transformed into a card or a page creating whatever. Or here we have a card expanding and showing more detail. That's a common use case for container transforms. Here I provide a code example. It's actually quite easy to implement a container transition. It's called open container in the animation package. You have a builder for the closed state and for the open state. And as soon as it's being tapped, it will simply render the transition from the original. It will expand first of all to a full page container and build the destination content. And in the close, as soon as you tap back, it builds the closed state again. Another common use case is an access transition. From login screens or coding guides. I don't know whether you know Google's Code Labs or so on. They provide an access at the at one of their accesses, which you have as the second picture here. Numbers of steps. And you have pretty with Flutter, you can code pretty animations on these accesses. There are two types of these access transitions. There are shared access page transition builder. Well, ugly word. The shared access page transition builder is a page transition. So you simply provide two pages in your Flutter application, and the animations package with this shared access transition builder will take care of the transition between those two pages. So it's actually material page route, and that's another kind of page transition. And the other one is a widget, a simple widget containing several other widgets in which through which one of these access transitions is being performed. An access transition can take place on the X, the Epsilon, and the Z axis. For example, here that's, you know, you have actually all the different accesses here, horizontal, here, vertical, and here through the Z axis. Okay, another very commonly used animation is an animated icon. Animated icons in Flutter are pre-built animations for icons. For example, a play button in a music player, which translates into a pause button here. It's very, very easy to implement and emphasizes the user what their actions affected. Yeah. Here are some examples. Different icons and how they could behave when you tap them. Common use cases, but there are more complex examples as well. How to do it? Well, it's easy peasy. Just use animated icon. And as icon, you provide an animated icon source. Look at the API docs which are available, but it could be used, for example, for a drawer to show a back button as soon as the drawer is opened or so on, or whatever. Yeah, and another question. Well, I said Flutter renders with up to 120 frames per second, and in every single frame, you can render the whole widget again. How does it fucking work? Let's have a look at the engine, especially at the rendering of the Flutter engine. Yeah. First of all, we will look at how Flutter works under the hood. Okay, we have our widgets, we have animation, that's what we just talked about. We have widgets of different kinds, we have gestures, we have painting, maybe you already used a custom paint. And that's all the framework Flutter. It's written in Dart, but now the question is, well, we know Dart has a set state, and on set state, something happens. But what happens? And that's what the engine does under the hood. The engine is written in C++ and provides all the APIs for Skia, the rendering library, Dart, and all the text stuff like accessibility, right to left, left to right, and so on. Let's have a look on how an animation works in Flutter. We have the GPU, which provides a vsync. Vsync is used to sync the animation to the rendering of the application. Otherwise, if we would not do this, well, we simply could not. But what it would mean is that the animation would not be synced to the updates of the user interface. It would be a mess. For example, if you film with 30 FPS a monitor with 25 FPS, you will see some ugly rendering and some issues and so on, and that would theoretically happen if Flutter would not require a vsync. Okay, we animate. We tick animations. Means we were talking about this ticket provider. It ticks every time the GPU is rendering. That causes our widget to rebuild the parts which changed. Afterwards, the engine performs the layout. It computes the sizes of the widgets and so on. And as soon as everything is properly rendered, the frame is recorded by Skia and is painted to our canvas. Yeah, and that's an important, it's not really about animations, but a point to be mentioned. That's what the major difference between stateless and stateful widgets is. stateless widget has a constructor and is being built. But it does not matter in which build context. And a stateful widget, in opposite, creates its state for each new build context. But it does not rebuild the whole widget. So even if our parenting widget changed, if we provide the same stateful widget in our changed parenting widget, it would still it would still have its state and would not be rebuilt from scratch. Okay, what does it mean? If we have our state, we first initialize our state. That's that's where you, for example, the animations, that's where you would declare the animations controller. And afterwards, the first build is being triggered. And for example, if nothing happens, as soon as our parenting widget decides no longer to show our widget is being deposed. But a stateful widget is able, or state is able, to set its own state, to trigger a rebuild. Or if the parenting widget changes, it is being rebuilt as well. But it's not being reinitialized. It's only being rebuilt. And that's the major difference. And by this entanglement of so many widgets, stateful and stateless, on one rendering of our graphics library, during one of these 120 frames per second, only these tiny parts of the applications which really changed, only they are being rebuilt. And that's why Flutter has such an incredible performance on animations and layout, and works even on low-level devices with up to 120 frames per second. At that point, I would like to stop this talk. I hope I could give you a good impression on animations in Flutter and how rendering of the engine works in Flutter. And I would now like you to enjoy the Q&A and the rest of the remote chaos experience. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the session about Flutter. The thing is, one question I had is that Flutter was developed by Google, so not everybody likes Google. So what would you say to people who are wary because of that?
Me neither. I actually avoid anything from Google, but Flutter is open source, and so I see no issues in using Flutter, especially because it's powered by a great community. There's no requirement for any proprietary servers, and so I see no issues in there. You can include any dependencies from any package server for Dart you want. So yeah, it's actually quite useful. It's a BSD3 clause license, so it is as free as you can expect it.
Thank you very much. Once again, whoever's watching us and has a question now would be the best moment to put your question into the IRC or on Twitter or Mastodon so we can read it and answer it now. So until these questions, maybe another one rolls in, can you give us a few examples? We have a new question, but I have another question first, sorry. So give us a few examples what you have built in the last month with Flutter, because I know you've been developing with Flutter for some time now.
Currently I'm working on an application called Xornal++. It's a mobile port of the known note-taking software Xornal. Which I'm currently porting to Android and iOS together with the original maintainers of the Linux and Windows application.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Thank you very much. So we now head over to one question. Linmop on IRC has a question. I'll read it off. What's the progress of the port of Flutter to ARM Linux for devices, for example, like the PinePhone? Do you know about that?
I recently read on GitHub about this. There is work in progress. I think the Flutter tool is now capable to run on Linux for ARM, but it's not possible yet to build release to build release mode applications on neither on ARM nor for ARM, but they are working on it.
Okay, so we don't know at the time being when this is going to be done.
No.
Okay, thank you very much. How can people learn more about that, or can stay in contact with you if they want, and if you have questions afterwards, maybe?
I'm available here in Wikipaka Wiki, I guess there's a Q&A session in Big Blue Button later, which you can contact me. And otherwise, just search for the one with the braid in the internet. You will find possibilities to contact me.
So I'll post the link to further Q&A in the RFC if anybody wants to use that. Thank you for the question, Linmop. Thank you for your talk, the one with the braid. I think we don't have another question at the moment right now, but we recorded this for posterity. So if anybody sees this later, they will contact you, I guess. Thank you so much for your contribution, and see you again in the program tomorrow.
Yeah, goodbye. See you tomorrow.